So a couple weeks ago, Pastor David was trying to preach, and one of the kids in the church interrupted him. So David was trying to talk about when Jesus was asleep in a boat in the middle of a storm, and how his friends had to wake him up and say, don't you care that we're going to drown? And so like any good preacher, David used that question as a way for all of us to reflect, you know, to reflect on the storms in our lives. Those times of rough waters, and that ultimate question, does God care? You see, these sermons have to take up at least 13 minutes of your Sunday morning, maybe 15, or if you go to a non-denominational church, 45. So David was elaborating and expounding on the text, but one little kid in worship just wasn't having it. David would say things like, you meet with the doctor for the diagnosis, does God care? When you haven't spoken to your daughter in over a year, does God care? And finally, he said, when the world seems to come crashing down, does God care? And the little kid in the third row said, yes. This is why we shouldn't have children in worship. See, they give away our punchlines, and they don't let us add layers and elaborate. They get to the point. And you know, David, I can relate, because I will never forget Christmas morning 2016 when I was in the middle of my own sermon, and I said, rhetorically, I said, call me crazy, and little Nathan McDowell pipes up, you're crazy. But children were disrupting worship in Jesus' day, too. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that Jesus did and heard the children crying out in the temple, they became angry. They became angry. Children should be seen, not heard. The adults became angry and said to Jesus, "Do you not hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?" So he's quoting from the book of Psalms there, Psalm 8. And it's basically like saying, have you not read your own Bible? I mean, these people are supposed to be the key leaders in the faith. So why haven't they read that part? Haven't they read about how God has prepared praise from the mouths of babes? So let's turn back to the story. What is it that the kids are saying that freaks people out? What is it that makes the priests and the scribes so angry? When the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that Jesus did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry. Okay, time out. Raise your hand if you were here at the Lenten dinner this past Thursday night. All right. Yep. Pop quiz. What does Hosanna mean? Right, you need the multiple choice. All right, so let's say, yes, you remember. One more time. Save us. Yes, Hosanna means save now, save us now. Hosanna to the Son of David, save now. Now, why would that be a problem? The problem is they're calling Jesus the Son of David, which is the name for the person who was supposed to set the nation free from its Roman oppressor. It was the title of a coming king who would stamp out the enemies of God once and for all. The Son of David was to be the Messiah, the set-apart one, the one set apart to do great things. I mean, who hasn't hoped for someone to come in and do great things, a great king or queen who can finally set things right? Haven't you ever voted in an election where you had a lot of hope in your candidate? And you thought, finally, someone who will save us from ourselves. I know I've hoped for a Messiah. And these people, the people in this story, these people had real urgency to their hopes. They could feel the boot on their neck. They could feel the giant thumb of the government pressing down on them, and they needed someone to rescue them. Save now. Maybe they didn't know what the coming Son of David would look like, but they sure as heck knew it wouldn't look like Jesus. That's what was so wrong with what these kids were saying. You can't say that that guy from a little backwater town called Nazareth is the Son of David. This guy who comes riding in on a smelly little donkey, it's a farce. It's a parody of what a king should look like. But the children are insistent. Hosanna to the Son of David. This is our Messiah. Save us now. Save now. And it's interesting that the Bible doesn't say the people get angry when Jesus overturns the tables of the money changers. The Bible doesn't say the people get angry when he calls them robbers. He says they're turning God's house into a den of robbers. The Bible doesn't say the people get angry even when he cured the blind and the lame. But when the chief priests and the scribes heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry. See, they had a sermon already set in their mind, and that wasn't it. Scientists say that a baby's cry will change depending on its level of distress. It goes into a higher frequency, into the range where adult hearing is most sensitive. That's why tea kettles have that piercing cry. It's why sirens are so high and loud. Have you ever been around a baby whose cries are getting more and more insistent, going up and up as the baby's urgency goes up, the cry's pitch goes up, and the pause length between cries goes down. So the cries are coming louder and higher and faster. Our brains can't block it out. We have to respond. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. The frequency goes up, the pitch goes up, and they're trying to tell us something. They'll do whatever it takes to convince us. Sometimes children have to cry out and tell us the truth. They have to tell us adults the truth. The truth is what made four teenage boys sit down at a Woolworths counter in our state in 1960 to try to tell the adults in power that it was high time that power gets shared. No more segregation. No more discrimination. These kids, not even out of their teens, these kids had to cry out in protest so that all the world would hear. Maybe they saw what the white community wasn't willing to see. That we need each other. That we belong together. That the kingdom of God isn't complete until we are one. They had an urgency in their cries, and finally they were loud enough to reach the heavens, because out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. Infants, babies, students, youth leading the way. And granted, sometimes the next generation might be unaware of some things. They might not know the complicated layers to wade through with any cry for deliverance or saving. Save now is really easy to say when you're young and idealistic and everything seems so simple. But what if they're right? What if this one really is the Son of David? We expect him to be one thing. It turns out he's another. We want a champion for our cause, but he's not a champion. He's a dusty-skinned Palestinian about to be crucified. The children knew what the adults couldn't yet know. They knew that God's peace would be something different than just winning a war. God's peace, God's Messiah, God's Son would be different than what they expected. So the mom's Bible study meets here at church every Wednesday morning at 9:30, free childcare. Every Wednesday, 9:30, free childcare. And we just finished reading a memoir written by my seminary professor, Kate Bowler. And if you remember me mentioning her, you'll remember she had the surreal experience of being 35 when she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So her memoir came out last month. The title says it all. It's called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. Well, one day when Kate was still in the hospital recovering from surgery, a neighbor came to their house and her husband answered the door. The neighbor had brought a casserole, and along with the casserole, she'd brought a bit of wisdom as she told Kate's husband, everything happens for a reason. He said, I'd love to hear it. And the neighbor said, pardon? He said, I'd love to hear the reason my wife is dying. I think that that neighbor needed God to be a certain way. She needed a certain kind of Messiah. And when she brushed up against the great mystery that is God, it got too scary. It was too hard to look at. The beauty of Kate's memoir is that she invites all of us, as her brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us to look again at what kind of Messiah we're waiting for. Yes, Kate wants nothing more than for God to save now, to save her life. She wants to remain here on earth with her husband, her high school sweetheart, and their 4-year-old son, whom they spent years trying to conceive. She wants a very particular kind of son of David, just as I'm sure you and I want. But here's the one she got. She didn't get the miraculously zapped cancer that will never plague her body again. She didn't get a God riding in on a white steed slashing with a sword. This is what she got. At a time when I should have felt abandoned by God, I was not reduced to ashes. I felt like I was floating on the love and prayers of all those who hummed around me like worker bees, bringing notes and flowers and warm socks and quilts embroidered with words of encouragement. They came in like priests and mirrored back to me the face of Jesus. It is not proof of anything, and it is nothing to boast about. It was simply a gift. The chief priests and scribes would have liked a particular kind of God, but if they had stopped to listen to what the children were saying, they would have realized God's here. This is it. It might seem idealistic or oversimplified, but it's just the truth. We have a God who would willingly come right into our suffering, ride right on in on the bumpy back of a donkey, into the chaos of this world, to be not what we want, but what we need. We got to listen to the kids. Does God care? Yes. Am I crazy? Yes. Who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are just what we need. Will you pray with me? Hosanna to you, Lord Christ.